Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I love this text on the RamosLaw.com text line. Holy heck! Bruce Arians was god-awful. I like Bruce Arians on the broadcast. I was entertained by him.
You know, he made a couple of comments that I thought were very insider-like. One of them was on the quarterback draw.
Yeah, he goes, I wouldn't do that till December.
Right, and then you know what? In December, it may be too late.
Okay. So, but his credibility with that comment is significant. It's fun to hear.
You also have to take into consideration he spent a majority of his head coaching career with Carson Palmer as a starting quarterback
and Ben Roethlisberger.
Nah, his point
ben
though
Roethlisberger,
was
excuse me. He had I think Ben Roethlisberger. He had.
I was talking about being a head coach.
Oh, well, I mean, in Arizona. He's been the offensive coordinator for even Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but his point was. He said it was different with a quarterback sneak than
quarterback draw.
I thought it was a good, interesting point. I mean, you can certainly debate about it whether or not. But do you really want to see your starting quarterback who makes $20 million a year? Not only was he diving head first, but he was diving at Matt Paradis's knees.
Well, you're just trying to get in, dude.
I got it. Sorry, but of all the ways to get in. That was an interesting decision.
That's the way he was getting in, so he got in. So,
yeah, but what about the decision?
Matter.
You're going head first, and you're ending up diving at your center's knees.
Get the touchdown. He didn't mean to dive at his knees. He just meant to get the – he was diving for space to get over the line.
That's a valid point for Arians to bring up, don't you think?
Well, you know, if it's Tom Brady, you probably – at 30, was
I've
he 41?
I've seen
at
Tom 40? Brady
Tom
just
Brady, man, Tom
shuffle
Brady,
in, but I've never
man,
seen him like
I've seen Tom
doing
Brady
Case
do
Keenum
so bad. Many quarterback sneaks, which is
sneaks but not draws.
Listen, man, it's almost listen. You take a lot of hits in the quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I got you, but I haven't seen him ever do a quarterback draw.
No, because he doesn't have the athleticism. Did you ever see Tom Brady?
You just said you've seen him do it. I've never seen him.
No, I'm talking about
it.
Quarterback sneaks. You know what?
Quarterback sneaks I've seen him do a million times.
Hold on. You know, last night with the New York Giants, that was the first time Eli Manning ran quarterback sneaks for first downs in, I think it was like.
Yeah, but that wasn't a quarterback
eight,
sneak.
Years.
It was a quarterback draw.
It doesn't matter, I'm saying, but to put your quarterback in a run situation is always tough. The Broncos not only called a quarterback draw, they called an RPO play where Case Keenum pulled it and ran for a first down on third and three. So they're telling you that our quarterback is athletic, he's smart, he's going to get the yardage needed, and we're going to be okay.
Okay. Bruce Arians, I think, was just saying that's a dangerous spot to put your quarterback
in. It always is. When you ask your quarterback with the
it's not
run,
college.
Listen, anytime you ask your quarterback to run with the football, it's a dangerous situation.
What's football 101? What do you want to teach us?
Football 101. Two tight ends or a regular set, okay? And I'm going to give you an example of calling a blitz package versus two tight ends or a regular set. In every football game plan, to get the perfect blitz situation, what you want is to never have two backs or two tight ends in the game, because if a tight end gets up and he moves over and he inserts into the run game, when you have a blitz call in a blitz situation, what it does, it creates an extra hole. So say you had somebody going into the A gap and you get up and you move that tight end to A gap situation and you tell that middle linebacker you got the A gap. Now the A gap becomes a different situation where it was just between the guard and center. Now with that tight end, he's created another gap. So you have to fill that gap too. And the reason I know this, and playing against two tight ends and two running backs, a fullback in the game plan also scares defensive coordinator because you don't know where that fullback is going to insert. Is it going to be on the last guy on the line of scrimmage? Is it going to be on the middle linebacker? Is it going to be on the defensive tackle? Wherever he goes creates another two-gap situation. So when you call blitzes in that situation, you can get your head smashed in. You can get your head really smashed in the running game if they pick the right hole and they know that you want to be an aggressive play caller in the run game. Just to give you an example, when I was playing for the Denver Broncos, we had a very aggressive defense, and we called a bunch of blitz plays against the Oakland Raiders when John Gruden was the head coach there. And they had a running back by the name of Napoleon Kaufman. Napoleon Kaufman, against us, in that situation, I think he ran for 240 yards. It was one of the biggest days of running back ever against the Denver Broncos. Because when you call a one-gap blitz defense and the fullback blocks that guy in that gap, it creates another gap on just the other side, and you don't have anybody in that gap. So Wade used to do it. You know, Wade didn't care. Wade did it anyway, but it's a very dangerous situation. Like, that's why you see blitz packages against three wideouts, because three wideouts, everybody has one gap. But as soon as you move that guy into the formation and you bring a tight end or you bring a running back into the formation, that one gap now has become two gaps because you have to pick a side. So it's a very overwhelming situation for defensive coordinators. But I've seen guys say, screw it, we're going to go. We're going no matter what. And I think that's what Vance Joseph was saying when he was talking today. We're going no matter what. I don't care if they do have two tight ends. I don't care if they have regular formation, which means a tight end, running back, and a fullback. We don't care. We're coming. It's dangerous. I'm just telling you, it's a dangerous situation when you're calling one-gap defenses against people who can step in and create new gaps.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, I like Pac-Man, but was way behind on a few plays. VJ talked about Tremaine Brock playing more or less for Adam Jones in the second half.
Adam was a little tight. In the second half. So Brock came in and played for him. You know, obviously he's only been here now, you know, what, 3 weeks. So he has to get in football shape, you know, and that's half of Adam's problem right now.
Hamstrings.
Okay. Hamstrings, a little tight in hamstrings. But, you know, so he didn't feel great, you know, so we took him out and put Brock in.
KL, what'd you think about that?
I thought it was, well, first of all, no matter who you had at cornerback, they're going to give up those easy plays. Those easy plays, when you play in a cover three shell, you're going to give up the easy plays. But Pac-Man cost us, he cost us a sack fumble because he was grabbing.
Well, I called the hold on Todd Davis.
Yeah, man. I mean, was that Todd Davis?
Mm-hmm.
Todd Davis on one. And then on another one, it was a third down stop.
He did hold on that.
Hold on another one. I just thought that, you know, it was the one position I kept on harking on in preseason. Our third cornerback position is vulnerable. Tremaine Brock came up with a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter, but in general, you know, when we look at percentages of plays, like last week, Pac-Man played 64% of the defensive plays.
Yeah, 32%.
32%.
21 out of 65.
Right, and then, you know, the other person that took those snaps, well, that's Tremaine Brock, and he had 35% of the plays this time. With 23 snaps.
So you understand why I've called Pac-Man Jones the Jamie Moyer of the Broncos, right?
Well, he's an older guy.
Right.
He's an older guy, but a terrific athlete. But it did. But yesterday.
But even VJ is saying he's not in football shape.
Hey, yesterday on the hottest day of the year ever for the Denver Broncos for a home game, it may have showed up yet. The conditioning may have showed up.
It's not going to change, Al. Doesn't matter what the time.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. No matter who, even if it was Tremaine Brock, that third cornerback position is going to be a valuable one for us.
It's going to be tricky.
It's
going to be
it's
tricky.
It's the one position where you have, you know, like, that's the one position where you almost need a guy who is a first-round draft pick, a second-round draft pick.
Well, we have Isaac Yiadom in the third round.
Yeah,
so that's how they addressed it.
Yiadom
they drafted Langley last year.
You know, Yiadom
didn't work out.
Yiadom may be asked to step up right now.
Oh, no, I'm sure that's, I mean, that's what they would rather have.
You need somebody with that springy. You need somebody who can challenge and get up in people's faces and not be afraid. Tremaine Brock, I don't even know enough about him.
Nobody does.
Because he wasn't there in training camp, but he's looks like he's getting healthy now.
35-year-old cornerbacks are not meant to run around with Amari Cooper or other guys.
It doesn't
like
matter.
That.
But I'm just telling you.
Amari Cooper or every other receiver in the league.
Listen.
Who are all of the same ilk.
Listen. Derek Carr did not go nearly perfect throwing the ball against Adam Jones all day. He did that against Chris Harris Jr. He did that against tight ends. Linebackers who were supposed to be covering tight ends. He did that against Bradley Roby. He did it against everybody.
That's true, but today,
so don't say it was just
Chris
Harris, one guy.
Chris Harris's coach didn't stand up in front of the media and say Chris Harris wasn't in football shape.
No, Chris Harris is in football shape. I mean, Adam Jones just got here, but once again, man,
it's concerning.
On the hottest day, you ask the hottest day in this altitude.
You're making excuses. Does he have a shirt on?
I'm not. But I'm saying on the hottest day.
You're making excuses.
I'm not making excuses.
You're about to. Go ahead.
I'm not.
On the hottest day, what?
On the hottest day, with all the game gear on, Adam Jones wasn't up to it.
Okay.
He wasn't up to it on the hottest day in recorded football history here for the Denver Broncos.
The criticism of the defense by VJ was interesting today. Maybe a little unexpected. And there's an interesting number that you need to know about next week's game against the Ravens. Details next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Dmac.
Here's a number from the Westgate Sportsbook in Vegas. The line on the Broncos-Ravens game has moved from 5.5 to 4.5. Maybe not the most shocking line that you've ever heard, but Broncos increased their odds a little bit, but still tells the tale that they're an underdog next week when they're going the road. Here's some other numbers for you, Alfred. Trevor Siemian threw two games last year. 2-0, six touchdowns, two interceptions, 450 yards, a rating of 106.9, sixth best in the NFL.
All right.
Case Keenum in two games this year, 2-0. Three touchdowns, four interceptions, 551 yards, a rating of 73.7, 28th in the NFL. Thank you, Mike Kliss, for that. Case Keenum will get better, stay the same, get worse.
Long as we're in games in fourth quarter, I don't care what his quarterback rating is. I really don't care.
Do you care about his touchdowns to interceptions?
I care less about that. I care less about the touchdowns and interceptions.
What do you care about?
I care about wins. I simply care about wins. And do we have a chance in the fourth quarter to win? Because in the course of a game, man, usually if you take three plays out of any game, it changes the outcome of the game. Any three plays that you want to take out, it changes the game.
Here's what VJ said about Case.
It gives you hope. You know, even yesterday after the first penalty, you know, we're 1st and 20, and everyone thought that we had a chance to win because of Case. And again, I mean, to watch him battle the first half and to throw a bad pick in a high red zone and to come back in the second half and to have four straight scoring drives and to make the plays he made on third downs. I mean, he made three or four big-time throws on third downs, and it gives you hope. It gives the defense hope, the coaches hope, it gives the fans hope, and he's proven to be a winner. So That's the first trait you want for your quarterback.
So you don't care about any numbers at all as long as the guy gives you hope and he can lead a comeback.
That, you know what? Nobody wants to, you know, there's a great stat out there.
Am I right on that?
No, I think.
I'm not right on that.
Well, what you want is not to be down in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Let me try again. You don't care what the numbers are with the quarterback, correct?
Right.
Okay. As long that you have a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
That's right.
And people believe in him, in that quarterback. Players
right.
believe in him.
That's right.
So what's the difference between Case Keenum and Tim Tebow?
Nobody believed in Tebow.
What are you talking about?
Well, you heard what I said.
What do you mean nobody believed in him? Everybody believed in him.
No wide receiver on this team believed in Tim Tebow.
No wide receiver liked him because their numbers were terrible.
Listen. No wide receiver liked playing with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, but that's the difference between liking him and believing in him.
No, if you don't like him, you don't believe in him.
Okay. If you're talking about numbers, then numbers do matter then. Because that's why the wide receivers were so down on Tebow.
Dude, the dude throws guys. Listen. Once again, two plays yesterday, two touchdowns, would have changed this whole narrative today. It sounds like you're salty that we won.
I'm not salty at all.
It sounds like you're salty that we won.
I'm not salty.
Well, then,
not at all.
What is this about today? I'm so upbeat and
I'm talking,
joyous.
I'm playing
about
you sound
this.
From the coach.
Well, I'm just telling you. He gives you hope. He gives you hope. That's something that we didn't have.
I read you numbers from Mike Kliss comparing Trevor Siemian to Case Keenum.
That's right.
And I'm playing you sound from the coach.
That's right.
I'm not salty.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the news of the day.
It just feels like, man, I've been listening to this station all day. And you know, the guys that played this game, you know, it's so hard to get a win, man. It's so hard. Like, when I tell you it's hard to get a win in the NFL, it is hard. But when you go back and look at our Super Bowl 50 team and how many close games that they won, you know, things weren't perfect.
Does this team remind you of the Super Bowl 50 team?
Well, it's starting to because we have won these close games.
But we won close games last year and started 2-0.
Were they close?
First game was close. Last year, actually, the second game was a blowout. Killed Dallas.
Yeah, so that doesn't...
First game was a close. It came down to that kicker missing
San
Diego.
I think Trevor Siemian was always going to have a problem leading this team for a bunch of different reasons.
So you could talk on that. Like, Keenum's a better leader.
Yeah, I mean, for a bunch of different reasons, we were
skeptical. I think the numbers have to matter a little bit, Alex.
I don't think they do.
Because if you just have hope... And you just have, like, we can do this together. You do have a quarterback like Tebow is kind of like that.
No.
You need to have some solid numbers. You need to be better in touchdowns to interceptions.
No, I don't
need
all that.
You need to be able to have better than a 16.4 rating in the first half. I mean, you need better than that.
You know what you need?
Or you have Tebow.
You know what you need? You need to win the game.
Well, they won a bunch of games with Tebow.
You need to win the game. That's the only thing that counts.
You couldn't win a championship like that. On the other side. What do you think? Here we are 2-0. Can the Broncos win a championship with Case Keenum? We'll get to that answer next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Case Keenum leads the Broncos to a come-from-behind win in the fourth quarter. No timeouts, 2 minutes to go. You get a holding call. It's first and 20 from the 10-yard line. It's not looking good. But he leads the team. Gets it done. Big time.
Credit the offensive line for giving him a clean pocket all day.
Emmanuel Sanders with the huge catch.
Where would this team be without Emmanuel Sanders? Oh, my goodness. He may be the MVP through the first two games. I mean, he's always open. Call him 7-11.
All right. Maybe throw it to him in the first half then.
Maybe. I mean,
might be an idea then.
Right, no doubt. I mean, didn't Demaryius Thomas have like 11 targets yesterday?
He did.
Yeah, those targets got to go to Emmanuel.
Is Case Keenum... Do you believe after two games, Case Keenum is good enough to get this team to a championship?
Listen, man. What is going on here? What just happened? Wait a minute. What just happened here? First of all, how many wins did you have the Denver Broncos with this year?
I don't know yet.
No. You said that you thought the Denver Broncos would get to what record?
I don't know yet. We'll know against Kansas City. We'll determine the rest of the season.
Dude, sure. We'll know in the last game of the year. I mean, if you really want to do, hey, I'll let you know what the Broncos are going to be after week 17 against the Chargers. What okay. are you doing? What did you think? Because I've been saying 10-6 and 11-5 all preseason. And I think you had them at 6-10 or 7-9, somewhere in there. Never more than 8-8.
I have them at 2-0.
You never had them more than 8-8.
I have them at 2-0. I've said that for weeks. I have them losing against Baltimore. And then, however the Kansas City game turns out, I think will dictate the rest of the year. They beat Kansas City at home.
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
They beat Kansas City at home, go 3-1. I think they're a playoff team.
You got to be kidding me.
They lose to Kansas City, and they're 2-2. They're probably an 8-8 team. And, you know, the good news is, you know, there was a, you know, concept of, well, if they go 1-3, then it's all chaos. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, you would possibly forecast Vance Joseph to be fired after week five.
At 1-3, for sure.
Golly, you said that week five, hey, don't be surprised if Vance Joseph isn't fired.
If they're 1-3, yes.
Come on, man.
Well, they're not going to be 1-3. So he's not going to be fired.
Golly, man. Come on, man. And then your next question to me is, do you think that we are a championship team?
No. Do you think Case Keenum can lead the Broncos to a championship?
Of course.
Okay, why?
Because he was one game away last year. That's why. Good enough?
Sure. Let's go to...
Golly, man.
Let's go... Why are you so defensive today?
Because I can't believe you...
You're very, very sensitive today. Why are you so sensitive?
Because... I'm in that there's I told you so moment right now.
There's something else going on. You're very, very sensitive.
No, because I think people don't appreciate a win in the NFL.
All right, why don't you talk about that game. You're angry at who?
I'm just angry at basically, you know, the concepts that we should have won by a lot more. Is that a gambling thing? Like, what was the point spread? Is that what people are upset about?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what people are upset about because I'm just happy we got the dub, and that's the only thing that matters.
When you woke up today, what did you hear that made you upset?
Oh, just different, you know, different things about the players that Case Keenum and has got to be better with the football, Demaryius Thomas, and then you didn't see all the good stuff that happened.
What criticism is unfounded then?
Well, I mean, you talk about the bad, but you didn't talk about the good. Like, I haven't heard anybody all day talk about how great this offensive line has played this entire football season.
Well, we talked about that for like 20 minutes already in the show.
Because I mentioned it.
And I didn't disagree with you.
You know, you didn't disagree, but I mean, it's not like a headline or topic. I mean,
what else is to say besides you saying they were good and me saying I agree? What else is there to say?
Maybe you can highlight the fact that Leary is opening up holes at the rate of 100%.
I agree with you.
You know,
go
so
ahead.
So,
what
so,
else?
So just we both agree
Billy Turner's better.
Billy Turner played great.
We both agree that Garrett Bowles,
instantly we go to Philip Lindsay who's having a great season, and on the long run that he had, not many guys can make that run. In the NFL.
Completely agree. Philip Lindsay is awesome.
If you put any other running back in there, that's an 11-yard gain.
In fact, I said Philip Lindsay is so awesome, it spotlights why the Giants made a mistake in taking Saquon Barkley at 2. You can find other guys.
You did, but I'm praising
Philip Lindsay.
No. Praise the offensive line.
I agree with you.
Given that lane to 7 or 8 yards.
I feel like you've got something pent up all day.
I've been hearing about
because I don't think
they
really
got away. They got away with one. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Okay, so who said that?
Oh, just don't worry about it. Let's talk to the fellas. The fellas will tell you.
I have to worry about it.
I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy that
we're
2-0.
You're angry too.
I'm angry that people don't value the win, even if it's on a last second field goal and we were shut out.
But can people value?
We were shut out in the first half. So what? We won the game.
Okay, so can people value the win but still be critical about certain things? Vance Joseph was today.
Of course you can be critical, but be more praiseworthy for the no. opportunity to have the win. The win is the only thing that counts in football.
All right, but that's what we always said about Tebow, but you bristled against that.
But Tebow doesn't use the entire field, man. I mean, that's some old crazy stuff, dude.
But you realize that was exactly what was said about Tebow.
No, man, Tebow is not an NFL quarterback, okay?
Okay.
He's not an NFL quarterback, and he's not in the NFL.
Love you, too.
Will, you're on the fan. Hi, Will.
Look,
Hey, back to the point, and back to, I guess, my closest point about stats. I would have loved for Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl when he threw 55 touchdowns
right.
and 10 interceptions. But I will gladly take 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions.
My man.
Good when he was put together with duct tape and Elmer's glue, you know? So here's the thing. I was smart enough to marry into family whose my father-in-law has season tickets. I've been sitting in section 323 for the last 15 years. Think of how many quarterbacks we've had over those 15 years. And let me tell you what I've noticed these first two games of the season. Typically, when we would have a half or a quarter like we had these first two games, everybody in the stands would get upset, would say, oh, God. When Tebow was there, yeah, they liked him. They kind of said, God, please give your Tebow the win. What happened the last two games was people were calm. People were kind of like, huh, let's see what happens. Why? Because I think people understand, despite the boo birds in the first half of the game, I think that was the same reason my other team gets booed, which is the USC Trojans. We were booing the play calling. We were booing the conservative play calling when we know that Case Keenum can do what he's been doing. We know that he can get this team over the hump. It doesn't take a Tom Brady. It doesn't take a one of those guys only to do that. We can win with Case Keenum. So the palpable feeling in the stands was people calm. Let's see what happens, which I've never felt before in 15 years other than when Peyton Manning was here. So that's what I think. We should be happy that Case Keenum is leading. And just a stat, if Mike Kliss wants a stat, I tweeted this at him. Case Keenum so far, 2-0, Kirk Cousins 1-0-1, Tom Brady 1-1, Ben Roethlisberger 0-1-1, and Derek Carr 0-2.
Will, not to, not to rain on any parades.
My man, Will.
How many games do you think the Raiders win this year, Will?
Oh, they'll win 7-8.
Raiders.
They did amazingly well. Carr had an incredible game, and I think despite Chucky, they'll win 6 games.
How many do you think the Seattle Seahawks will win this year?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it depends. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't pay that much attention. I'm not betting on games.
I'm just saying, what do you think the quality of the opponents were?
We're talking about two quarterbacks that
the Patriots lost to Jacksonville, who's obviously one of the best teams in the league.
D-Mac. We beat two quarterbacks that are in the top 10 of salaries in the NFL. Okay, let's just start with the quarterbacks, okay?
Okay.
So if your quality quarterback, who, by the way, Derek Carr played up to that contract yesterday, and you got a dub against him, man, go on with it. We're not talking about beating Sam Darnold and the Jets. We're not talking about the Mike McCoy offense.
By the way, did you see the story out of Arizona?
Hey, man, I told you.
The story out of Arizona says they got to simplify the playbook there's too much in there.
And when I tell you something.
They didn't get the ball over half midfield till 1 minute to go in the game.
When I tell you something, take it to the bank.
Yeah, they're having some problems there.
I'm trying to explain to you the run-pass ratio, what was it yesterday? It was almost balanced again.
28-35, pass over run.
You know what I'm saying? So don't tell me about how to play this game. I know how this game is supposed to be played. We're playing it the right way. The quarterback is Dylan. We got to come through for him, though, man. Man, you get a shot at an end zone reception, catch the ball, Tim Patrick. Catch the ball,
Cortland
Sutton.
You're angry at Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton?
Catch it. If I throw it to you, catch it. DT, if I throw it to you, dog. DT had yesterday in drops, in yardage, okay, drop yardage. He had somewhere in the neighborhood, the corner route that he dropped was 30 yards, okay?
Al, you're sounding a little bit negative right now.
No, I'm just telling you.
Why are you ripping on the receivers, Al? Why not we focus on Emmanuel Sanders and how amazing he is?
He is.
Let's talk more about what Tim Patrick did when he did catch the ball.
Listen, man.
Why are you so negative?
Why are you yelling?
You're all juiced up.
Hey, man, I am. You know what it
you're
is?
You're juiced up because you're not really mad at me. You've heard stuff on the station throughout the course of the day.
And if
I bring up anything, all of a sudden you're deflecting it all on me.
I'm like, man,
so I'm not going to take your rage, Alfred. If you're mad at Mike Evans or Brandon Stokely or whatever.
I am mad at Stokely.
Just tell them.
I am mad at Brandon Stokely.
Don't take it out on me.
Maybe he forgot how hard it was to win in this league in his 15 years of playing.
There you go. It's
golly, man. A win is a win. Take the dub.
All right. Don't start yelling at me. Pick'em, by the way, we're fun. When we come back, Troy Rank was there a dig from the head coach to the defensive coordinator? We'll get Troy's take on it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Dmac.
He held the ball twice, and we got two sacks. Right, so at halftime he was 18 for 19, and it was really quick passes. So that falls back on the corners. Right? We have to press the receivers because if he holds the ball, we know that we can get pressure. If it comes out quick and we're 7-8 yards off, it's going to be a completed ball, and he's going to fall for 5 or 6. So our corners have to play with great confidence all the time, and obviously play press coverage, you know. With our pass rush as a corner, I mean, you should have confidence that if he's throwing a 9 ball or a 7 ball or a deep in cut, that our pressure will get there, you know. But we were really too soft, I guess I should say, at corner, you know, with our coverage.
Oof. Ouch. Vance Joseph from earlier this afternoon, our corners were too soft in coverage. I don't think he was calling them soft, but the
yes,
coverage.
He was.
The coverage was too soft. Mm-hmm. Troy
Rank.
Hey,
I want that.
You want to keep playing the song?
I like the song.
All right, Big Sexy.
Mm-hmm. Running on the rain. Everything that happened good at the University of Colorado when I was there, Troy, it felt like this song was on every highlight. So every time I hear it, I just got to hear him say, oh,
That's a great song. Tom Petty, Running Down a Drain.
There it is.
I just missed it. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law offices, 303-333-1816 for help. Troy, what about those remarks today? What was that all about?
Well, they had issues with the third cornerback, specifically with Adam Jones and Tremaine Brock. Turned out Adam Jones was dealing with a little tightness in his hamstring, so Brock played more. They basically played evenly, which was different than the first game. Given the receivers a little bit too much cushion, Vance Joseph blamed himself, though, as well, in the bite. You guys hadn't, I don't know if you used earlier in the program, but saying that, you know, you get so worried about specific guys and 10 and 89, and what are they going to do, and it created a passive approach, and the second half, they were better. But it was interesting because Vance Joseph told me today he is involved with the defensive game, you know, play calling on game day, and that, again, he pointed the finger at himself and said at halftime, they talked about, we got to be more aggressive, which I like. I thought he was aggressive the entire second half as a coach, going for it and fourth down at one point for the touchdown. But those remarks were related to just the team was too passive, and they were giving too much respect to Oakland's passing attack.
You know, the game plan to me was it wasn't really aggressive because of what the Raiders were trying to do. But, you know, when we needed to make the stop on that last drive, we made the stop. And to me, that's all that matters. You know, when the game's on the line, can we get it done? And it feels like in every game there are those pivotal moments where you say, this is the moment. And everybody in the stadium knew, on both our sideline, on their sideline, in the stands and at home watching, that those were the moments that needed to, good things needed to happen for that defense, and it happened. So after that, I don't care about it. I don't care about it. Do they need to play better early? Yes, but in general, when the game's on the line, they did play great.
Well, it's a formula for winning defensively, Alex. The whole team's the field goals. They were giving up more yards than we're accustomed to seeing. And I talked to Chris Harris about that. He said it's a little bit more of a different philosophy. You know, the elasticity, the bend but don't break. And you've seen this with teams that went in the playoffs. You know, they give up yards between the 20s, but they're good in the red zone. Last year, the Broncos limited teams in yards, but they weren't very good in the red zone, and they gave up too many points. So if you had your one thing you want to be good at, it's points allowed. And so far, you know, they've been pretty good at that. And against the Raiders, when they had to have a stand, they made one. And that's, I agree with you, Al. At some point, you get caught up in all the statistics. Eventually, it comes down to this. Can you stop them in the red zone and limit them to field goals more than touchdowns? And if you do that, you're typically going to win.
Okay, so it was an they were interesting comments today, Troy, because it seemed to be, I know he was saying, hey, that's on me. But isn't he saying, hey, Joe Woods, I need more from you?
Well, again, I think it does go back to Joe Woods because he's the defensive coordinator. But Vance was making it sound like he was involved in the game plan and that he, you know, he was blaming himself for not saying we should be more aggressive because he's been more active on game day with adjustments than he was last year by what I've observed.
How so?
Just let's say, okay, that last possession when they, or the possession when Case Keenum had the Keenum keeper, the 2 yard touchdown run, he went to Musgrave and said, this is four down territory. So call it like four down territory. But when they had first down, not, okay, right at the end, go for it. He made it clear to him, you know, we're not taking a field goal. We're going for the touchdown. That's not something I saw last year between McCoy and Vance Joseph, ever, frankly, before he fired him. So I just seen that type of, and then Vance today saying, that's on me. We should have been more aggressive. I'm involved with the defensive play calling. It's his background as a coach in the NFL. We need to be better at that. Does it go back to Joe Woods? Of course it does. But Vance Joseph is saying, this is how I want it done, and this is how you saw that, a reflection of that in the second half. Kid, I think that's a great move by Vance Joseph. He's coaching for his job, too, and let's not be naive here. And if you're going to be the guy, when your name's on the masthead, you make the decision. And I like what I've seen from him in the first 2 weeks in that regard.
It feels like this team, even though last year we were 2-0, it feels like this team is playing together more. And I think because of the way the offensive line is played, I have more confidence. The quarterback is throwing dig routes this year. I mean, it's not just dink and dunk and let the receivers do their thing. This is a well-choreographed passing attack. Case gets a little aggressive, but I like it. It feels different than last year's 2-0.
Well, I'd say the one thing that's different is the players believe in the quarterback. And after 2 weeks last year, Simeon had played great against Dallas in week two. But to your point, there wasn't much diversification in the offense, and they weren't consistently running the ball to where you say, okay, they can grind some clock if they need to. In Keenum's case, you know how this goes in a locker room, Al. You get a lot of credit in the locker room when you can win late in the fourth quarter as a quarterback. So he showed toughness on a couple of short runs, which guys noticed. But Case Keenum in the fourth quarter, guys, he's 14 of 20, 176 yards, a 113 quarterback rating, one touchdown, no interceptions. Now, does he need to be better in the first half? Absolutely. He has to play better. They'll lose on the road. But the thing that's different to me, Al, is they clearly know who their leader is on offense. And when he's had to, he's played his best, Case Keenum, when it mattered most.
All right, Troy, 13 games to go. What do you think the Rockies have to do over these 13 games to win the NL West?
A number, I would say, to be safe, you're looking at probably 8-5.
8-5.
8-5 probably gets you there. If two of those wins this series are against the Dodgers, I don't like the matchups. I'll be honest, D-Mac. I mean, you've got John Gray going tonight, and he's struggled to deal with pressure. Then your best pitcher, Kyle Freeland, gets matched up against Kershaw, which Freeland could pitch great and still lose in that game. And then you have Tyler Anderson going. And they're 2-10 his last 12 starts. He hasn't won a game since July 4th. So, yeah, it's a concern, but this is what you signed up for. They're in position. But, again, losing two at San Francisco, it just shrinks that margin for error where now you have to win games where you don't particularly like the matchup. But I'm not going to doubt this team because they have shown a mental resolve and a toughness that, it's been admirable. And frankly, that's what I saw from the Broncos this past Sunday. The team that was mentally tough.
Okay.
And so I still like the Rockies' chances, but man, it's not going to be easy.
Do you think the Diamondbacks at this point are out of it at 4.5 back? That's too far to come?
I do. And again, I covered a team that got in at 07 that won 13 of 14 in the Rockies and then eventually 21 of 22. But those are aberrations for a reason. You write books about those seasons for a reason. They almost never happen. They're the Haley's Comet. The Diamondbacks, just their bullpen's an absolute dumpster fire.
Okay.
For me, they're done. It's the Rockies versus the Dodgers and Cardinals. For the Dodgers for the division and the Cardinals for the second wild card.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask you about because, you know, I find myself pulling for the Cardinals, but then I look up and like, wait a minute, man, if you beat the Dodgers, then that just moves you closer to a wild card. You know, it's
well,
a
weird, we want to win the division.
I know, so. I know I want to win the division, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's a crazy ending right now. 13 games left. It's just so crazy. You find yourself rooting for this, but not thinking about that.
Well, you want to root, as D-Mac said, you want to root to win the division. If you've never done it, that's the easy answer. And secondly, to be able to set your rotation. And when you win the division, you get the wild card. You have an advantage the way they match up against you, and you have a home field advantage in the playoffs. Beat anyone at Coors Field, and that's why you want to win the division.
Okay, well, big matchup starts this weekend. Great job, Troy, as usual. Talk to you later this week.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Troy Rank, Rockies, Dodgers tonight, celebrating a huge win. Jubilation in the Mile High City here on a Victory Monday.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Here's why you should be excited about this Broncos football team. I know, close game against Seattle, 1-point victory against the Oakland Raiders. But did you hear that? That's two victories. That's 2-0 in a situation in which you're really extending through the preseason. You're still learning about yourself. New coordinator. I know Billy Musgrave was kind of the interim offensive coordinator, but new coordinator, first time kind of for the Broncos is the full-time coordinator. Brand new quarterback. You're integrating rookies into your lineup. All these things being true, no more Aqib Talib. Integrating guys like Adam Pacman Jones into the defensive alignment at the cornerback position. This is a work in progress, and you're 2-0. And on top of that, there never, ever seemed to be a sense of discombobulation, a sense of panic on the sideline. So not only have your players reacted well, but your coaches have reacted well to adversity. And every time you face adversity and it stares at you, you stare right back at it, and you attack it. You turn the ball over, you put a drive together. You get a fourth down and one where they don't convert. You put a touchdown drive together and you go for it on fourth and one and you score. That's resilient football. That's answering the bell, and this team has done that 2 weeks straight. That gives me great hope for where they're going, the confidence that they're building right now. And I just say, bring on week three. Get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.